Case and Gregor Show podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chev, where right now prices are reduced by $7,500 or more on 2017 Corvette Stingrays with 0% financing for 60 months. Winter pricing in August at Lakewood Chev. Ryan Schaug from TSN joins us. Schauger, how are you? Lots happening today. Connor McDavid back in town. Patrick Maroon looking slim and trim. And Bob McKenzie released his long interview with Peter Chiarelli. Lots to, and we're going to play some of that after the interview with you. But a few of the things that stood out to me was when he was talking about Nugent Hopkins, and he made it very obvious. He goes, hey, you cannot have three centers making that much money. Thankfully, I've been saying it for years. But then he followed up with, well, we had success with Leon on the wing and other models. So to me, long term, and you could get away with it this year because McDavid doesn't make that money this season. But so it's almost like this year would be a trial period to see if Nugent Hopkins can be consistently productive as a second line center with Draisaitl on the wing, or Draisaitl's your second line singer and Nugent Hopkins gets some time on the wing. What did you think?
Well, yeah. So, and I mean, if you listen to the whole clip, and I listen to it again, just to kind of, I want to put it in the proper reference. He does say, I mean, you can't put all that money into three centers. You just can't.
Yeah.
But then he also adds a little bit later on that you almost have, like, their research tells them you can put the money into the two lines.
Yes.
But that you can, they need to look at it not like their lines and more like their top players. In other words, two lines is basically the equivalent of six players.
Mm-hmm.
And so look at it more like pairs. And if you look at it in pairs, you can pay three pairs a pretty good, healthy amount of money. And so, he didn't back off of it, but he sort of indicated that if they look at their top players more in pairings and less about in lines, then you can pay three guys. Now, a little bit later on in the interview, it also stuck out to me that, you know, but Bob asked him long-term about Draisaitl and where they need him to play to have success. And he said that, that the road to winning a cup is with Draisaitl in the middle. I'm just looking. I wrote down that he didn't say it exactly like that, but he basically said that, you know, in order for them to get there, their best chances with Leon in the middle, Leon and Connor in the middle. So, on one hand, he says you can't pay three centers that much money, and he'll have that much money being paid to three centers next year. And then on the next hand, he said Draisaitl on the wing long term doesn't give him as good a chance. So, there's definitely, where there's smoke, there's fire, and there's a reason why we've always talked about this in three centers and all the money that McDavid makes. But he did leave the door open, though, for pairings. And, you know, the other thing that I found interesting was Bob went through the lineup with him, and he did it line by line. And, listen, I'm not there, and I can't tell you who Bob is or isn't talking to. The one thing I know is Bob McKenzie would never sit down with Peter Chiarelli and go over his lineup line by line without making pretty damn sure that he was going to be bang on with his assumptions. And so it was a little bit telling in the lines that Bob asked Peter about. So he asked him about Maroon with McDavid and with Strome on the right side.
Yeah.
And Peter talked a little bit about that look.
Yeah, makes sense.
Then he asked him about Draisaitl between Lucic
and Slepyshev. Kajula?
Kajula.
Okay.
But he did make mention of the fact it was Slepyshev out. You know, maybe it's Kajula or whatever. So, you know, Draisaitl in the middle with Lucic and Kajula. And then the third line that he discussed was Nugent Hopkins in the middle with Puljujärvi on one side and Jokinen on the other. And so I guarantee you Bob wouldn't go into that interview and presume to know what those lines were without making pretty darn sure where their heads were at.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely took note of the lines that Bob threw at Pete.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know what, for me, I always thought Puljujärvi with Nugent Hopkins made the most sense. The last thing you want Jesse Puljujärvi to do is have to play with McDavid and face the toughest possible competition. It doesn't make sense early in the season from a kid who has no offensive confidence based on last year. And you know what? Ryan Strome came in. You traded him away for your top line right winger. Might as well slot him in for your top line right winger. Like, long-term right winger and see where he goes. And, you know, the luxury they have is they can slide Leon Draisaitl up on that wing. And I was looking at numbers going back to Crosby and Malkin early in their career. Like the last 5 years, Ryan, they barely played together at all, five on five. But in the first few years, they did play about an average of anywhere between, you know, 200 minutes up to 400 minutes, even strength time together, which is significant in the course of a season. And I still feel that at times this season, we will see Draisaitl and McDavid. I just don't think they'll start that way.
Yeah, well, again, it's Todd's guilty pleasure, right? When things aren't going the way he wants or if they're having trouble creating offense, it's the fastest, easiest fix for him to try and generate offense because they're fantastic together. They are. I said this a number of times last year and maintain it. Playing Draisaitl and McDavid together might win them a regular season Western Conference championship. It might. Like, it might win them the West during the regular season. But if they're going to win anything in the playoffs, they need to be on separate lines. And that's the thing. Over the course of an 82-game season with competition that goes up and down, you can get away with playing those guys together and probably finish much better off in the standings than if you had them separated all year long. But when you get into the playoffs, when the brass tacks is happening, you saw against Anaheim what had to happen. And so it's this funny existence where they're the best look offensively by far, but it's not necessarily a healthy move for the hockey team to make long-term and permanently. And so with that in mind, they've had to be creative and they've had to find ways to be versatile. So, I mean, you go get Jokinen, who Shirelli referred to him as a Swiss Army knife today. I mean, he is. He can play center. He can play either wing. Right? Mark Letestu could play center and can play the wing. Drake Kajula could play center if he had to and can play the wing. Draisaitl, center. Like, they're building versatility into Todd's options and into his toolbox for that very reason. So it's smart the way they put this lineup together and the versatility they're going to have.
Ryan Oshog from TSN joins us. Anything else stand out from the interview for you?
Yeah, a couple things. Just looking at my notes here. So Bob asked him, how would you rate Milan Lucic's play last year? And what do you think he gave him out of 10?
I would say he gave him a 7.
6.
Okay.
So I kind of went, oh. It was like, now he said a strong 6.
Sure.
So Peter said out of 10, and Bob went, sure. And he goes, I gave him a strong 6. I went, holy smokes, okay, that's interesting. So, I mean, a pretty realistic view of where he was at last year. So that kind of stood out to me. You know, he was very complimentary of Lucic, but admitted that he it was an adjustment year and he's got more to give.
Yeah, which Lucic, I think, himself admitted when I spoke to him first day in camp this year.
Right. I don't know if he would have rated himself a 6 or not, but that's what the GM rated him. So that was interesting. Said that Puljujärvi, he talked a little bit about what happened with Puljujärvi last year. And what he said was that the newness of North America, they didn't anticipate it having as big an effect on them as it actually ended up having. And not just living in North America and off the ice type stuff, but even in the dressing room and around the rink.
Well, of course.
and some of the habits and some of the expectations that he didn't quite take to in the early days, and he needed some acclimation. So it was a lot of kind of off-ice stuff that just wasn't a comfort level there that they think they've been able to work on him with, shifted his training a little bit, less endurance and distance stuff, more explosiveness, so they feel they have a more explosive player this year based on the way he trained. So that was interesting. Jujhar Khera, probably his best clip of the day was on Jujhar Khera. Bob basically said, you expect him to be there? And he said, well, yes, we do. We gave him a one-way contract for that reason. He needs to work on his consistency, but where's the quote here? He said, we're ready to commit to him unless he screws it up, which I thought was pretty interesting. So you can see where their head is on Jujhar Khera. They're ready to have him in the lineup, and they're ready to have him on the roster right away. It's his for the taking unless he screws it up. I thought that was interesting. And then the other thing he said is they're likely not bringing any more defensemen in. So for all the speculation on when it was Franz in or other potential guys, he said he didn't think they would. He was pretty certain that they wouldn't, that they'd stand pat, that the young guys did a really good job last year. They were considering bringing another D-man in last year, even after Russell. And then they said, no, you know what, we've got good young players. Let's let them play in these positions. And that's similar to their thought process this year.
And I understand it. The Cody Franson one, I know he went to Chicago just on a PTO. Sure, I'm sure he could have got him on a PTO in Edmonton. There's no risk to do that. But sign him to a contract, to me, it wouldn't have made a lot of sense. I don't see Franson fitting into the style that the Oilers play. What's your expectations of Ryan Stanton? Do you think he, like, Stanton, Ovechkin, and maybe Mark Fane, Fane might even be number nine on that list, who knows, and Dylan Simpson, who do you think right now today is the leader for the number seven spot?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of cheating because Chiarelli was basically asked that same question, but I guess in fairness to me, I'm right, because I've been talking about it all week, that it's Ovechkin. And Chiarelli was asked about, are any of these guys going to make a mark or in the fray? And he talked about Stanton, talked about Ovechkin, talked about Simpson, Lowe, and a couple of other guys. And he said of that group, Ovechkin would be the one. So I think they view him in that position. We talked about giving him the one-way deal. And I think they signed him impressed with what he did early on last season. And he talked about how his first third was good, and then he really fell off the map a little bit. So they're looking for a little bit more consistency from him. But, I mean, even if he can have a strong start and earn some games and push guys a little bit while they're without Sekera, he seems to be the guy that they're looking at to fill in that role in the meantime. By the way, I don't know whether it's concerning or not. I don't think it should be, because he did say that he was in good shape and doing really well, but he talked about Sekera being anywhere from November to February.
Yeah, which is what I've said all along. Like, 6 to 9 months, man. 6 months was November 18th, and that was best case scenario. I've said January 1st, kind of middle of the road, as would be the most realistic starting point. Because players always say they want to come back early, but you get a little bit older of a player, rushing back from an ACL injury is not the best, because even if the guy's healthy, he's not going to be the player that he wants to be.
It's one thing to be giving it a 3-month window back in May, right? So it's one thing back in May to go, we need surgery, it's going to be 6 to 9 months. Well, we're now through June, July, August, and into September, and you should be getting a little more of a beat on it by now. And so whether Peter was just being conservative, I would have expected that they'd be narrowing things down a little bit. And so Chiarelli, to hear him say still, at this point, for them still to be saying November to February, raised my eyebrow a little bit. I thought they would have had her dialed in a little bit at this point in his recovery. But in the same breath, he did say that he was doing well. So I guess we'll wait and see. But there still seems to be this large gap in the timeline.
Yeah. Well, I honestly, ACL, man, it's a major surgery, and rushing back, even when guys come back and play, they're never really the same player. So for me, honestly, Sekera, by the time he gets back up to speed, I'm even regardless of when he gets back in the lineup, I bet you it's not until February, where even if he returns in late December, that he's really back up to speed.
Oh, yeah, it'll take him a while for sure. Guys take time to get – I mean, it's a tough injury, and – he relies on his legs, and it'll take a little bit of time. And so they're going to have to rely on, but I mean, it's opportunity for Benning. Like, look, Bobby Mack was bang on with all the questions he asked him about sort of assuming that Benning would slide up there with Russell. And he said, yes, that's kind of the natural fit. He goes, but at the same time, we played Nurse up in the playoffs a little bit, and he gave us an exceptional game.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're not ruling out the idea that there could be a couple of shifts around, and maybe there's the opportunity to move a few guys up and down and around. So if Nurse is banging on the door to take a step, they're in a position to let that step happen. So these players are going to have the room to dictate it themselves.
Shogger, have a good weekend. We will talk to you Monday.
Okay, sounds good, buddy. Take care.